Hello and welcome to podcast number 2. And the first one, as you may remember, was the kick-ass curry. This one is going to be the chicken nachos. So at this point, I will hand you over to Zoe, who will take it away.
Yes, well, as Will rightfully said, this is podcast number 2. And yes, last time we did a kick-ass curry, and I hope that you all went away and tried that very delicious meal, because I've done about 12 since I did the last podcast, and it's still just as yummy. So there you go. So today, what are we going to make today? What's she going to make today? Well, today I'm going to show you how to make roast chicken nachos. Mmm, very yummy. And not too hard to make. There is a lot of prep going into it, but it's actually not too hard. So we'll get straight into it. Okay, well, firstly, I want to know what ingredients we've got. You're going to need half a roast chicken from the local supermarket, so one that's already roasted up. You know, you can roast it up yourself too, but it tends to add a few extra hours to the preparation time. So, yeah, just get one from the local supermarket in Australia, Safeway, Woolies, or wherever you are. Okay, a tomato or two. Now, I generally don't go too heavy with the tomato in this recipe because there's already a bit of tomato in the bean sauce, as you'll come to learn a bit more about it, and lots of people don't like to overdo the tomato. So one or two, just depends how many people you're serving. In this instance, I'm just making two. This is just two meals. So yeah, there you go. So we're just going to use one tomato in this recipe. You're going to need two ripe avocados. Definitely not woody. Do not get hard avocados. So when you're at the supermarket, don't dig your fingernails into the avocado, because the next person that comes along is going to have to pick it up and go, oh, yuck, ugh. You know, got people's finger goo in it. And it does make them bruise and stuff. So just gently push it, see if it's soft or not. And yeah, generally you can tell by the colour too. If it's really green, then don't get it. Okay, what else do we need? We need some tasty grated cheese. Now, today I'm using Bega tasty grated cheese because that's the brand that I tend to go with, because I'm religious with my brands. But anyway, yeah, so that. Now, this is where it gets a little bit complex. Now, we can go two ways with this. You can actually buy a nachos kit, which makes life a little bit easier, but you don't have to. Now, for those that are going to use the kit, I get the old El Paso Mexican Nachos kit, which you can get from Woolies and Safeway and in Australia or wherever in America. But the equivalent, basically, all it has in it is a sachet of, guacamole seasoning. And it also has the bean sauce and some chips in it. I often think there's not enough chips in this kit, so I tend to go out and buy an extra bag of chips. Doritos nacho cheese is the way to go. I reckon they're the tastiest. Don't get the Vivas, they're not as tasty. But anyway, yeah, so I'm pretty sure they've got Doritos around the world. And yeah, so there you go. Yeah, 230 grams net. You'll probably have some left over if you're making a meal for two, but we tend to eat up a little big when we have these. So yeah. Okay, what else do we need? Oh, yes, of course, I forgot to mention, if you don't have the nachos kit, you can get the sachet separately of the guacamole. You just go to the little Mexican section, and they usually have the sachets of that. And as for the sauce, you usually get a jar of old El Paso's sort of bean sauce, nacho bean sauce. Not really sure what it's called, but it is available and you can get it, and it usually is a bit more spicy than the stuff that's in the kit. So try and get the kit if you can. Oh yes, and a word of warning, do not cut shortcuts and buy a jar of guacamole. Often it is disgusting. It's runny, it's light green, and it's just crap, basically, to put it bluntly. And especially the old El Paso's, just don't buy the stuff. Get the sachet and make it up, and I'll show you how you can make it up. It's not that hard. Okay, what you will need are two bowls to serve your nachos with that are oven proof. So I'm going over to the other side of the room here, and I'm going to grab two bowls that are probably oven proof. Well, let's hope so.
They've survived a few times so far.
They have survived a few times. Will's just said that, yeah, these have probably been through the oven, oh, ooh, I don't know, how many times? Maybe 12?
Something like
give
that.
Give or take. Yeah, so probably a number of times since the last podcast, put it that way. It is dishwasher and microwave safe, so...
If one does explode in the oven, you will get to hear it first hand.
That's right.
Which is important.
Yes, it will go bang, or something similar. Okay, so you get you got your two bowls, because we're cooking for two, right? Now, you'll need a veggie knife for chopping up the tomato. So you get your little veggie knife there, and you have it on your cutting board. You'll also need a fork for mashing and mixing when we get up to making the guacamole, which is not too far away, actually. And a container to make the guacamole in, or a bowl. I tend to go for a plastic bowl just because they tend to handle mashing a bit better than ceramic and things. So, yeah. So just get a, I don't know, like one of those 1 litre pourer jugs or something. That'll do. Okay, so then, of course, when if you bought your half chicken, you might want to sort of put the oven on a little bit of heat, just a low heat, just to keep it warm, because we're not going to actually get to actually putting the chicken on hot for a little while. So just preheat the oven a little bit, say to about 150 degrees Celsius or so. So you know it's not too hot, and that usually will keep it sufficiently warm for the duration of your prep time. And just turn it off and leave it in there too, by the way. Don't leave it going, because, of course, you're going to burn the chicken. Okay. Now, first of all, we're going to dice the tomato or tomatoes thereof. So, yeah, make sure you wash your hands and stuff before you handle the food, of course. And we've got our tomato here. So we'll rinse this as well, because it's had lots of... probably supermarket fingers all over it, and we'll chuck the said bag into the bin. Okay, so yeah, dice it, you know, basically, you know, in half, and then try and dice it from there. Slice it into about, well, if you've got a big tomato, maybe about three, slice it into about three, each half into about three, then sort of maybe even in half again, and then just dice it like that, because that's pretty easy. And unless you've got a really mushy tomato, in which case, yeah, try not to get mushy tomatoes, because they are very hard to dice. So just bear with me as I dice up the tomato. This will be used later as garnish, so don't go too overboard with it. A lot of people don't like too much. Yeah, so of course, if you get some tomatoes that are slightly woody in the centre, just chuck the woody bits, because they nothing like munching away on this nice guacamole and sour cream intertwined part of the nachos, and then getting these from this big tomato core that's just decided to get lodged in between two molars at the back of your mouth and make your meal just a little bit less enjoyable. So, okay, nearly finished dicing the tomatoes here. Hopefully we'll get this over with in just a few moments. And, I'm just going to ditch that... probably incinerate that. That's got a woody bit, actually. And if I cut out the woody bit, and if you have ever heard the podcast of us incinerating out a glass jar, you'll probably recognise this little incinerator about here. Sink up with water. So while I'm doing that, I'll tell you about the next step that I'm going to get up to, which is basically to pick and scrape the avocados into a separate container or bowl. So we're going to get into making the guacamole next, and from there we start to add the guacamole seasoning and about one tablespoon of sour cream, but we'll get to that in just a moment as soon as I finish clearing out the incinerator here. Right, that ought to do. And here we...
Too much about it now?
Yeah, there's still a little bit down there, but we'll just have to forget about it.
We'll need to put another jar down to get it pushed through.
That's right. Yeah. Yes, we'll do that a bit later.
Glass not on jar. This podcast, though.
No, certainly not. No, this is all about roast chicken nachos, which I'm dying to eat, so we won't delay any further. Now, I might get a little plate and put those cubed nachos on it. These onto the plate. It's very important to keep all the ingredients in this recipe separate, because if we start mixing sour cream with guacamole with the tomato all together at this point, you're sort of slightly intermingle flavours at the wrong points and things. I'm not an expert, but anyway, this is how they tell you how to do it. So yes, and make sure you wash your hands in between handling different foods too. Right, okay, so now we get to the avocados. So generally when I'm cutting avocados, I tend to just cut the top down to where the pip is, and then I just gradually work my way around the pip, so a straight line right around the avocado, like so. And then just twisting the two halves opposite directions, so you sort of go like that. Sort of, that's the noise. That's the noise it should make if it's not a woody avocado too. And you just out the pip, which landed in a mug. That was a shot. But we'll put that in the bin because that's too woody for the incinerator. It'll probably blunt the blades a bit. So anyway, if it's malleable enough, you can often just squeeze the avocado out of the skin straight into the container that you've put aside for your guacamole, or you can just scrape it out with a fork or a spoon or something. And so we'll just squeeze those one half, and here goes the other half, like so. Okay, what? So that's one avocado. Slice up the other one. I'm just holding the avocado as I'm slicing it near the microphone, so you can hear a little bit of what's going on, even though it's not really that fascinating. But anyway, it keeps it all interesting and happening, doesn't it? Now, of course, when you're squeezing out the avocados, just be careful that you don't squeeze out the woody stem. And as soon as you see it, grab it, because otherwise someone's going to get a rather nasty shock when they eat their nachos. I have a very bad habit of missing it and actually leaving it in there, so hopefully I haven't done it this time. I guess I'll know about it, because I'll probably get a squawk, so.
Yeah, we don't want those bits in there.
No.
They're an unpleasant surprise while you're eating.
Yeah, sometimes you get them, sometimes you don't. I don't think we got any this time, so I don't think I can possibly do that this time. So that's good. Right, so you've got your avocado sitting there merrily going, now what am I going to do next? And you're going to tell it that you're now going to put the guacamole seasoning on top of it. So we open our... Wash my hands again. Open the kit, which is usually in a box that's, you know, 420 grams net. And... if I can just open the box, there's all the stuff that can't be bothered pulling the tabs. Let's just open it like that. Right. Usually in a white sachet, if you get the old El Paso nacho kit anyway. And it will usually have in big font guacamole written on it. So it's pretty hard to stuff it up, but it is the guacamole one's usually the small papery one. The old El Paso nachos topping is usually more slippery and shiny and stuff, so you can usually tell. And it's bigger too, so. So you just open up the sachet, usual drill, pour in the sachet of said seasoning. And then we go to the fridge. And because we've got a little bit of sour cream left over from the last episode of Nachos, we'll get that out and I'll have the extra sour cream that I bought today on standby. Now, I normally get Bulla Premium Sour Cream. Sometimes they don't have it there, like tonight when I went there, and I had to get the Woolworths Sour Cream instead. So we'll see how that goes if we get to using that. But I think the Bulla Premium Sour Cream, there's enough of it left that we'll use it in the guacamole and we'll use the sour cream woolly stuff on the top.
Well, that tends to be the thickened stuff in the jar.
Yes.
And I imagine that brand might be Australia-specific, so get whatever thickened sour cream you can get
in
a jar. Or in a sort of a yogurt type jar.
Yes. It's about 200 mils. And, the little container or a little carton of sour cream. Usually thickish. Because, that's what you want. You want something that's fairly thickish. Right, so we've got our tablespoon of sour cream, we've got our sachet of seasoning in there, and we've got our fork, which is already out. We don't need to get another one out. So now we basically mash together the stuff in the container. So bearing in mind the tomato still has nothing to do with this. It's still sitting off to the side on a plate. We're not mixing the tomato in the guacamole, no way. Because, it's not part of that recipe, so I'll mash away here. So sort of an even greenness you're looking for. Usually a good indicator that you mix everything through properly is that it's not as lumpy. Will likes his things smooth, so I tend to mash it up pretty good. And that way you are ensured that everything is indeed mixed up properly. So this happens to be quite a ripe avocado. If you get one that's not quite as ripe, you'll probably be doing more mashing. So if you've got supermarkets around your joint that are actually open till late, that's probably the best time to get your avocados, because they've been sitting there all day or a few days, and they've had the chance to ripen up a bit, and they'll often be on special too. And go the $1 bags with two avocados in them, I say. Not that we got them today, but anyway. Okay, well, I reckon that's avocado a la carte. So that's the avocado. So we've done the avocado and we've done the tomato, so we're going to set them aside over here and they're not in the way. So what have we got next? We've got basically, we've got to grab the two serving bowls, the ones I was telling you about, the ones that are probably okay for the oven. And then we're going to get open the chips from the nachos kit, and never usually enough chips in those, as I said. Especially when it's for two. If it's one, it's plenty, but if it's for two, nah. Of course, if you want to make one, just halve this recipe. So what I tend to do is I evenly distribute the nachos specific chips first. I use all of them up because they're actually the nicest of them. And you can't seem to get them separately very easily. Sometimes you can. Okay, so we've got those distributed. Then you over your bag of separate nacho cheese style corn chips, and you sprinkle on as much as you think that you're each going to want, at the same time resisting the temptation to do this. Because it's very tempting indeed. Your first batch. Huh? Yeah. How hungry are you?
Fairly.
Alright, well, Will's fairly hungry. So we'll probably stack them.
I'll get a full size one.
Yeah. No. Okay. Let's do that then. And just, you know, if you've got a bag sealer or whatever, however way you store your chips, and yeah, so just put them away somewhere. Okay. Let's throw away the guacamole seasoning wrapper and the pip as well, because we can't do much with that. Alright. Okay, now here's the fun bit. This is the bit where things start happening. Right. So we'll get our nachos topping out about now. Now the pip. So, and you can usually find on the side of these things, excuse me, a little ding on the side near the tops. They say tear here, so you tend to just smooth down the in the kits. I'm saying, just smooth down the sauce so it's not up the top, and you can tear it off without losing half the sauce all over the front of you. Or if you're just using a jar, just use a spoon, open it that way. But I tend to think that this sauce is nicer than jar stuff, so I do tend to buy the kits. And just evenly distribute the sauce over the top of your nachos a la carte. Okay, a little squeezy poosh. And I'm not going to read too much into what I just said then. Beautiful sauce, this. Very nice sauce. Finger licking good, as they say in America. What is that, KFC? Maybe it's KFC. Okay. Almost squeezed out all the sauce. Okay, done. Chop that straight away, too. Washing my hands again. And throwing away the things that the corn chips from the kit were in. From the kit, as I said. Right, now we get our tasty grated cheese, or, you know, maybe you can buy a block of cheese and grate it yourself, that's fine. I just tend to get the grated stuff because it's only about 50 cents more expensive than to get a block. And, yeah, it's like, well, to save some time, yeah. I'm lazy, basically, put it blunt. There we go. Okay. Try and purchase the resealable variety of the grated cheese, because they are so much better, and they keep really well in the freezer, too. And they don't get as much freezer burn. Right down. Okay, so... And sprinkle appropriate amounts depending on the cheesiness of your guests. Okay, there we go. So, Will wanted lots. Will's very cheesy, so I tend to cake on the cheese. Nice long gratings of this cheese, I must admit. Very nice. Okay. Nearly finished. A bit more on that. Okay. So basically I sprinkled on, these are relatively big servings, so I sprinkled on about 5 small handfuls of cheese. So yeah, half a cup per bowl, and I'm going to chuck it straight, the cheese straight into the freezer, because we'll keep that for another day. Okay, now I've left the chicken in here, so I'm going to take it out. Oh, look at that, the thermal sticker's gone all black. The reduced to $5 for quick sale one hasn't though. Oh, just gave myself away. Probably should have preheated it, but that's okay. It's sort of still a bit warm from the warming up of the chicken. So Now we probably turn your oven to about 180 degrees Celsius or 350 degrees Fahrenheit. For this, so let's go 180. Now, this is a fan-forced oven, so I wouldn't go any more than that. Maybe even 170 might be even better. But about 10 degrees less, because they tend to. And yeah, I'm going to throw these bowls straight into the oven now. Doesn't matter what tray they're sitting on, as long as they haven't got anything above them, because as long as you've been careful not to have the cheese sprinkled around the edge of the bowl, because of course when cheese melts, it's going to melt down the side of the bowl and you're going to get it on things underneath, including the trays. So we've got those going now. Okay, now I've just, as I said before, I've just taken the chicken out of the oven, and I'm going to grab a big plate. And probably now's a good time to put our talking timer on. Let's see. I usually give these about 10 minutes max to melt the cheese and heat up the sauce in the oven. So, but because it's already preheated, I'm going to give it 5 minutes. 6 minutes. And see how that goes. So that'll talk at us every minute or so, as you probably know. Right. Chicken. We now need to get our chicken. Half a chicken. Half a roast chicken. And we probably don't even need half a chicken's worth of chicken, but that's okay. We get it just in case. And it's very good in sandwiches next day for lunch and stuff, honestly. Whew, watch again. So basically just tearing off bits of the chicken into little strips or little sprinklable bits of roast chicken so that we can put it on top of the nachos. So we've got 6 minutes left on the before we have to check those chips. Because we don't want to burn the cheese. The chips, actually, in the kit, much more resistant to heat than the Doritos. So be mindful of that. The Doritos will go black before the old El Paso kit chips. So they do need different times, which is a bit of a disadvantage. But before then, usually the cheese is melted enough. So just keep a close eye on it every minute or so, just see how the cheese is going. And if it gets close, just turn the oven off and let it sit there, and probably by the time you've finished tearing off shreds of the roast chicken, it'll be melted enough. Or if it does finish melting enough, just turn the oven off and take them out, because if it's melted enough and you leave it in there, 5 minutes. You will burn them, especially if it's already heated up. Ooh, this is a very hot chicken. Probably should have let it cool down or not heat it up quite so much, because I'm going to burn my fingers if I'm not careful. Okay. I don't bother with the wings usually. I just tear them off and throw them away, because they're a bit of a nuisance anyway, unless someone's around that chews on them. Wink, wink, nudge, nudge. But no things listening. Okay. Yes, this is a slightly boring part of this, but it's necessary. Okay. 4 minutes to go before we have to look at the chips. And I'm still tearing off bits of chicken. I'm trying to sort of make it, reasonable shreds, but not big and chunky, because you sort of like to be able to mix the chicken through a little bit when you're eating them and you're scooping them out. You like to be able to distribute them, because it all tastes good. It all tastes good, definitely. Hot, hot.
3 minutes.
Almost almost got enough chicken. Absolutely torn shreds off this chicken. Okay. I reckon that is about enough. I'll do another layer and I'll probably be done. And after that, all we do is we wait for the chips to have had their cheese and cheese melted and their sauce heated up. And then we'll be able to go on to the next stage. Right, I reckon that's enough.
2 minutes left.
2 minutes left. So basically, of course, you've been handling chicken, so once again, wash your hands or you're going to get oily stuff everywhere. All over plates and things, which is not cool, really. And if you got your roast chicken in a, you know, in a bag, just put it back in it and put it away, kind of thing. Refrigerate it. That is one nasty chicken. Okay. Yeah, so don't heat your chicken up too much. Alright, now that thing's saying got less than a minute left now.
15 seconds.
So I'm just going to have a little squiz anyway, see how this cheese is going. It's going pretty good. I might leave it for the next 40 seconds, which...
40
seconds. Yep. So, basically, now we sit and we sort of wait.
20 seconds left.
Get your oven mitts ready, of course. Clear a space.
10, 9, 8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
Okay. So turn off the oven because we're not going to be using that anymore. And one by one, remove the bowls of nachos. Just get rid of those scissors. Okay. And here comes the second one. Right. And we'll put those oven mitts. Actually, no, we'll leave those oven mitts out for a moment because the bowls are still pretty hot. So, I might ask Will's assistance here. Are you about?
Yeah.
Do you reckon you could check the consistency of this sour cream for me?
Sort of squashy and slurpy in there. It might actually be thick.
Is it?
Yeah, the noise it makes. I'll just go up near the microphone. So,
okay.
Sounds quite disgusting, doesn't it? It's
sounds like something we don't want to talk.
It's like a very small Big M carton, but it's full of sour cream. And I'm sure if you opened a Big M and had the consistency of that, you'd be giving it back. So, assuming that it is thickened, I'll hand that back to you, and you can deal with it.
Cool. I thought I should get your expert opinion. You're an expert at these things.
We're hoping that that's normal for this particular brand and type of sour cream. We haven't bought the stuff before because we couldn't get our normal brand, so...
Yes, I did mention that.
Fingers crossed.
Yep. Yep. Anyway, it should be all right.
Oh, sure.
Should be all right. Sour cream, eh? Yeah. All right. Okay, I'm just sprinkling, as we speak, the roast chicken strips and bits over the top of the nachos evenly, of course. And so they are not far off being ready. They're only a few minutes off being ready, actually. It's a bit quicker because We've been quite prepared this time around. You feeling like a lot of chicken or a little bit of chicken or?
Oh, yeah. A fair amount, whatever. Okay. You can do. As I said, I'm fairly hungry, so.
Feeling like a garbage disposal unit tonight?
Yeah.
Alright. We can deal.
Now I'll sit at the table and go.
That's right. Indeed. Right. Washing my hands in between using the chicken and going to the next stage. So we've sprinkled all our chicken. We're getting guacamole now. Use a fork or a spoon, up to you. Smear it on top of the chicken. So dollop it on and smear it around a bit, being careful not to flick chicken everywhere. Now this recipe is based on the nachos kit recipe, which is on the back of the box, but it's slightly modified, and I'm going into much more detail, obviously, about how it should be done, including specific things that you should use. They actually quote using spring onion, but we're not big onion eaters, and it gives you bad breath anyway. But if you do want to make a slight modification, when we get up to the tomato bit, I can tell you a little bit about how you can make it give it a bit of more of a Mexican original taste. But we'll get to that in a moment. Just smearing around, just in a neat pile on the top, but spread around evenly, obviously, on each one. I'm going to have a bit left over, actually. I'll put a bit more on Will's because he did say he was hungry. Okay. A bit more. Okay. That's all the guacamole. And sour cream. Once again, just a dollop of sour cream. We don't need much. I'm going to need a teaspoon to get into that, actually. Because it is a carton, and it won't pour out. Isn't that genius? I put things in cartons that just won't pour out. Okay. Oops. So, because we're using a teaspoon, probably a couple of... Two to three teaspoons of sour cream on the top of your guacamole. Just sitting on the top. Don't smear it around. Just sit it on the top. Because that'll be nice dunking material for the chips later. So, just... One, two, three little dollops. Oh, spilled a bit. Okay. Well, we'll put the sour cream away. Of course, that is a perishable. Right. And lucky last is the tomato. Now, if you want to modify this recipe a little bit, as I said, for a bit more zest, you can make a tomato salsa if you like. Try adding a squeeze of lime or lemon juice to the tomatoes, and some spring onion for an added authentic Mexican taste, as they worded on the box. So I've never done the lemon thing, but if you're into that kind of zing, yeah, apparently that works. So there you go. Right, so sprinkling on the tomato accordingly, depending on how much you like, on your roast chicken nachos. And there we go. Finished. And voila, we have two roast chicken nacho dishes awaiting consumption or conversion or however you want to put it. So, without further ado, I think we'll... What do you reckon? What should we do with these?
I think we'd better eat them.
Yep.
So we'll conclude this podcast with the usual details.
Yep. If you've got any questions or comments, just email podcast at zoetulip.com. And, pretty much that would be greatly appreciated because we love comments, and perhaps you've got a recipe that you really might know how to cook that might not be so simple, and we might even give it a crack. So there you have it.
Just for the audio geeks amongst us, this program was recorded with an iRiver H340 and two 1998 vintage Radio Shack lapel microphones, blue-tacked to the cupboard about binaural distance apart. Grande.